At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
All right, welcome back. Time to bring in the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. 40-14 winners this week against Tennessee in Charlotte. And a great crowd on hand. Dana Holgorsen joining us for the first time this year. What's up, Coach?
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing great, man. How about Raheel?
I'm doing good. Just trying to get ready to beat the Penguins this week.
Yeah, I know. A big game. Let's talk about last week, though. Let's talk about that game. First of all, I saw the video. I mean, I couldn't hear it. I was watching it in a bar, surprisingly. I couldn't. But I saw the video of everybody singing Country Roads after the game, and it looked like a lot of Tennessee people were joining, and I think they joined in on the fray. But that was impressive. How cool that was that everybody stayed till the end and were singing the song.
The Mountaineer fans always stayed till the end. That's just a given. It doesn't matter what the score is. If it's a close game, obviously everybody's going to be there trying to figure out the ending's going to be. But if we're up, then they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're going to sit there. It's the best tradition in college football. It's really pretty spectacular. It moves a lot of people. I've heard from a number of different people. You know, I don't even like West Virginia, but when I have an opportunity to be able to be in the stands to be able to hear that, it's something special. It really is. We had a lot of people there. It was a pretty mixed crowd. I think we probably had 60%. They probably had 40%. There was about, I'm guessing, probably 78,000 people there. So, good place for both fan bases to be. Charlotte's a great city, you know, and it's West Virginia University's number one alumni base, one, and then there's just a ton of volunteer fans there as well. So the response for that game was great. The atmosphere was great. The weekend was really unreal. And then, obviously, the way the Mountaineers played got everybody pretty fired up to sing that song in the end.
Got Dana Holgorsen joining us. The weather delay that happened after right around halftime, and then it delays it. Did you think your team was going to look that sharp coming out in the third quarter?
Yeah, I did, honestly. It was probably, when it comes right down to it, about a 40-minute rain delay. We went right in at halftime, and as soon as we got in there, it wasn't a minute, into the halftime that we got word that we were going to be there for a little bit. And, so we pull up the radar real quick, and I knew it wasn't going to be a real long situation. Now, my first game 8 years ago, we had about an 8-hour rain delay or lightning delay, so that's a whole nother conversation. But it was a close game at halftime, and we needed to get out there and play better. I'd been through that before, so we were prepared. We had all kinds of ideas on how we were supposed to do things to be able to make sure that we're coming out there in a good place. I got guys, I said, look, get comfortable. You're going to be here a while. Get a lot of food and get a lot of drinks and take your pads off and kick your feet up and relax, and then coaches, take your time making adjustments, which we did, as opposed to those halftimes go pretty quick, so, and we had time to be able to make sure that we were doing things right. And then we got out there and we made some really good adjustments, I thought, which that's a key to game one, especially when you're going against the new staff. You don't really know exactly what you're going to get. So made a bunch of good adjustments. Got word that, about an hour later, we got word that we were ready to go. I said, guys, we're going to be out in about 5 minutes. They jumped up, put their stuff on, and were were begging to get out the door like 2 minutes later. I was like, look, we got about another 3 minutes here. At that point, I knew we were going to go out there and play well.
Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, which Dana calls the best Mexican restaurant in the city of Houston. So if you're looking for great nachos and fajitas, you get over to Damaris Barbecue near you. So let's talk about what exactly went better in the second half than the first half for you.
Well, first of all, you mentioned Yanni. He was supposed to come to the game and ended up having to do some family stuff. And the only reason he was invited was to bring a bunch of chopped beef sandwiches.
Right.
And so then he was going to put him on our guy Rebrook's plane to come out. And he even forgot to do that. Oh. So I didn't even get any barbecue here this past
week. He's embarrassing.
Yanni.
He's embarrassing.
I'm upset about that. Yeah. I'm not happy about that. He knows how much I like those chopped beef sandwiches, and he let me down. So next time you see him, tell him I'm not real happy about that. What was the question, John?
So you did play much better in the second. I thought Will played great the whole game, but you played. So what was the difference in this? Well, why did you guys play so much better in the second half?
No, I just think we settled down. You know, it was a possession game the whole time. I mean, shoot, there were only 60 plays on both offense and defense, and we had the ball 10 times, they had the ball 10 times, and each of us had it 5 times in either half. It was just critical downs. It comes down to our defense didn't do a great job of getting off the field in the first half. We didn't do a great job of staying on the field on third down. The second half was completely different. And, again, it's all first game stuff. A lot of jitters. You know, both teams are fired up to play. It was a great atmosphere. They knew a lot more about us than we did them. So they got us on a couple of things on third downs and did a good job of controlling the ball. Second half, it was completely flipped. I mean, we got off the field on fourth down, third down and fourth down. We stayed out there and then kept drives alive, and then we ate the clock the entire second half. So, you know, really thought the coaches did a good job. You know, well settled in. That was big for him, though. I mean, this was his home. You know, he grew up in Charlotte and went to Panthers games growing up. Had all kinds of friends and family in the stands, you know, so probably just first game, not quite knowing what to expect, and then settling down and playing really well after that.
With Will and David, you know, they're always on together. They're perfect. David knows exactly where to be. Will, same thing, that he knows that David's going to be there. How much work goes in between those two guys to get on the same page? Because I think we take it for granted that these guys are putting in that much work where it works out in the game, where they're always on the same page. It is so much fun to watch. What is that like behind the scenes with these two?
Yeah, they've only known each other for about a year and a half, but when you see them, you'd think that they were brothers and they grew up together. They're pretty tight. They're both wired the same way. They're coaches' kids. They love the game with everything that they got. David was a starting quarterback and had a starting quarterback mentality as well. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that don't possess that starting quarterback gene. You know, when it comes to leadership and intangibles, obviously Will has that in addition to an abundance of talent. David Sills has that quality too. I mean, he's a starting quarterback that's playing receiver, probably our best leader, you know, when it comes right down to it. And so those guys obviously gravitated towards each other, and they're hardworking kids that understand the game and understand the space and the timing aspect of it is 100% better now than it was last year due to the fact that they, you know, last year was brand new to all of them.
Mm. We got Dana Holgorsen with us here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue every week right here on ESPN 97.5. So listen in. I tell you, a guy who stood out for me was Kenny Bigelow Jr. He's a big-ass dude now.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. There's probably going to be like a 30 for 30 on this at some point. I mean, this whole Eastern Christian Academy up in Delaware, where David Sills' dad basically put the school together. But Kenny and David were high school teammates. Wendell Smallwood, who's playing for the Eagles, was a teammate. Nikhil Shorts. We got two young kids on the team right now that were a part of that as well. So. When Kenny, you know, Kenny was a top five player out of the nation last 6 years ago. Went to USC. They got some good D linemen out there. I don't know if you know that, but you know, it had some injuries. Was battling all that. Was battling being homesick, and got his degree and came back home and still had a year of eligibility because of the injury situation. And there was only one place that he was going to go, and it was going to be here because of all the connections that he has, and he's been reborn. Is having more fun playing the game of football. I mean, we had a need for that position. He brings maturity and leadership and experience and is doing a heck of a job. So it's just what our D-line needed.
Man, he was, and you could tell that he was ready to not only play in this game but make his debut with you guys. That he was just playing with a fire, man. That was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. First play is a sack and a tackle for loss. You complain about that?
Nope. Well, in the whole defense, I thought, Dana, I know that Tennessee has challenged a little bit offensively over the last few years. New coach, though, you thought, you never know. And a quarterback who's had some experience, too, and Guarantano. But you guys play great. You guys are flying around.
Yeah, look good, look fast. I mean, we got experience. I mean, we need to keep getting better. Everybody knows we're going to be playing a lot of teams that are going to be able to move the football and score points. So we've got to keep improving, but it all starts up front, and we were just so bad up front last year, and now we got about eight guys that we can rotate in there. We had, I think, 12 tackles for loss or something like that, and most of them came from the D-line. That's never happened since I've been here.
Yeah.
So it gives you a chance. Then you got guys like David Long and Drayvon Henry that can run around and make a bunch of tackles.
Yeah, and, you know, it was hard replacing those two linebackers from the year before, right? So last year you fell back in a little bit there, and Long stepping up this year.
Well, Long is my guy now. He's a three-year starter here. I think he single-handedly last year had six tackles for loss against Oklahoma State. But he's an all-conference player. I mean, we lost a couple guys on at linebacker, but he's the captain of that whole group. So anytime you got D lineman making plays, it's going to free him up, and he's going to have a big year.
That's Dana Holgorsen right here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue every week on ESPN 97.5. Well, congratulations! That's a nice win. You like those neutral games, don't you? Neutral site games.
I do. And I do. It's just, I like it for the fan base. And again, you know, Charlotte's important to WVU, and you know, number one alumni base. I can assure you that that Mountaineer Nation made the most of their opportunity there in Charlotte. It was a great weekend for everybody.
Yeah. Well, Youngstown State, that's never easy. So.
Bo Pelini, he's still there doing the same stuff. So we know how good of a football coach he is. So we got to get to work.
No, absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you,
man. Dana Holgorsen, every week right here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You got the location right there on 610 at 18th Street. And, of course, on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. So you got those two locations. Get there and get you some of that barbecue. Or, as Dana likes to say, Mexican food.
Yeah. Or you can have Yanni bring it to you, and then he'll just forget.
Or Yanni can forget.
Hey, Yanni, you have one job.
Yanni.
Man, am I crazy to think that this team has Final Four capabilities?
That's a good win, though. That's a good win.
I know,
and it's a start to the season, but it obviously won't be easy. Oklahoma's still the favorite, and after this week, you look at the way Oklahoma played. But they can beat OU.
Yeah, there is something, and it's, you have to follow recruiting, I guess, and really care about it. It's called the blue chip ratio, where the number of blue chip players to non blue chip players on a roster may determine if you are capable of making a playoff. West Virginia doesn't fall into that. There are only like 14 teams that do. Now, there are outliers, like Washington has made it and they didn't fall into it. I think Michigan State did it as well. It would be an upset for a team that is constructed the way they're constructed to do it. But you do have a superstar quarterback potentially, and you play in a conference that you got Oklahoma at home.
Yeah.
So that it would be it's not likely, just if you go by that metric. But they do have a quarterback who probably wouldn't be there if he didn't get into trouble someplace else. So that might change the dynamic.
Well, and not only that, but he talks about it. And everybody looks at they signed, I think on signing day, they signed like six players or eight players, whatever.
Yeah, they get transfers.
And they got all, but nobody remembers December signing period where they got a bunch of JUCOs.
Yeah.
And filled in a lot of needs with experienced guys.
Grown-ass men. Man, you, when you have a Heisman candidate and a guy that could legit be there at the ceremony in Will Grier, and again, last year, if the injury doesn't happen, he's probably putting up numbers where you go, okay, this guy should get an invite. Because I know the team wasn't as good, but the team started losing because Will Grier wasn't out there. Mm-hmm. Man, this team just reminds, like, if Oklahoma could do it last year with Baker, and you can fill a lot of holes because of Baker, and that defense was not that great for Oklahoma, and we'll see what this defense is, you know, as the season progresses. But on offense, they've got every weapon you need.
Yeah, Oklahoma's defense wasn't good, but player for player in terms of, like, it's all about development, but player for player, they had talent on that defense to mm-hmm. be better than they were.
Yeah.
They just weren't. I don't know if that falls on their coordinator, just playing in the Big 12. As I said, West Virginia making it would be, they probably would be the one of the lower ranked in terms of where these players initially started when they got in, on campus. And it would be speak to Dana and his staff's development if they do make it there.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch, man. I don't know. I just have a really good feeling about this team.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, every week, man, just play West Virginia. Will Grier, man, that when David and Will are out there, it's a cheat code, man.
And you say that Gary Jennings got experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy McCoy coming out of the backfield catching balls too. I mean, they got some, they got weapons now. Petaway.
Yep. Like, it's scary, man. Yeah. It's cheat code scary when they're on.
See, I look at them and I feel like they could be there. They remind me of Lamar Jackson's first Louisville team. Well, I guess his second year playing, but his first as a full-time starter, where they got up to, I don't know, they're a top five team. They played Clemson mm-hmm. pretty close on the road. If they can
beat the snot out of Florida State.
Yeah. So they have I think they have that type of capability. Unfortunately for them, they don't have a Clemson on their schedule unless Oklahoma's that.
Yeah.
So they have a real shot.
Yeah. Oklahoma's that.
Maybe a TCU can start ranking. But they have them at
home as opposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lamar and that good Louisville
but
team.
But remember how good that game was?
It was great.
It was a great game.
And it was on the road. Yeah. And that maybe if it's at home, they win that one. So right. They do have their toughest opponent at home.
All right, 10:31. I'm going to talk about Chance McClain and Heritage Films. And we got somebody else was direct messaging Lance saying, hey, I need that Chance information you guys are talking about on the air all the time. Well, listen, you need this information. It's yourheritagefilm.com. YourHeritageFilm.com. I need you to please go to YourHeritageFilm.com and start the process of getting your 30 for 30 about your family. This is passed down to generation after generation after generation, and you're going to, you know, your grandkids, are they going to even know who you guys were? I mean, I don't know. I met my mom's mom and dad. I never met my dad's mom and dad. I wish I did. I wish I knew them. I wish I knew how they got here. I wish I knew everything about it. And you can get that done with yourheritagefilm.com. Chance does a long form interview with pictures and videos of your family and how the history of your family. And it's awesome. So if you're looking to keep that memory alive, yourheritagefilm.com, that's yourheritagefilm.com. Make sure you tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.